as it's all brothers. And so this is going to be interesting, I think. Inshallah, we're being live streamed now. And as soon as I can just make sure that that's happening, then we'll pop over and do the needful on our side. Guys, give your thoughts in the chat. You know, how it's been for you, mashallah. What are you taking away? You know, if we were at an event together and this was all happening, what would you be taking in your own homes, in your own relationships? Inshallah, I would love to know what you think you are taking from this, this 3 days that we've been together, inshallah. Can everybody hear me? Is my volume okay? Let me know, please, inshallah. And let me let our panelists come up. Musa Nasim, is that Musa and Subuga? Just confirm, please, inshallah, if it is. Sometimes I hear we've got Brother Saeed is here. Got you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. And so far, that's it. Musa, just let me know in the chat if that's you, brother. Yes. Oh, mashallah. Anam says, my husband and I are on. He's very interested in hearing from these brothers. Excellent. Excellent. Good, good, good. Alhamdulillah. Good job. Yeah, I like the fact that people are attending with their husbands, mashallah. Very, very cool. I haven't got heard from Brother Musa yet. I'm not sure whether that is you, Brother Musa. Okay, hello. Okay, mashallah. All right, so we'll give everybody a few minutes, the brothers who are on the panel. Of course, we can't do the panel without them, so we need to wait for them to come. But inshallah, they'll be here very soon. But I'm sorry, guys, this chat is dead. Sorry to say, it's not acceptable. You know this, you know how we do. So let me know in the chat and on YouTube as well in the chat. Let me know what you are taking home from these 3 days that we've spent. All right, mashallah, they're coming in, alhamdulillah. So Isra Omar says, learning that managing my nafs is key and to be content with Allah's plan for you. Oh, that's big. That's really, really big. It's really, really big, mashallah. Appreciating your blessings. Yes, definitely. Living intentionally, 100%. Right, I'm going to give my panelists the co-hosting, guys, so that you'll be able to, inshallah, put your videos on. And we've got a couple of brothers that have messaged to say that they're on their way. So let's just give them a moment. And let me give my panelists the ability to put their cameras on. Brothers, Jazakum Allah Khairan. It's wonderful to have you here with us. Just so you know, the Egyptian weather has been really bad and it has impacted the internet really, really severely. As a result, I've been kicked off the panel several times. So what I've asked all my wonderful speakers is I make them co-hosts. And if it goes south and I'm kicked off, please just continue because you know what we're here to talk about, inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala, the show must go on. The sisters who are in the VIP, whoever's there in VIP, please look after our guests, okay? Because you know already how it can go sometimes. Please look after them. Just look after them, inshallah. All right. And I think we should be okay, bi-ithnillah. So let's see what else we've got here, mashallah. We've got living intentionally. Yes, Sarah says it's a garment thing. Yes, I like that. It is, subhanAllah, it so is. Fatima says, I need to revisit everything to really hone in on the gems received. Tremendous learning journey. I love it. Alhamdulillah. Sarah says, I think that sums it up, mashallah. Zainab says, please let us have access to these recordings for a bit longer. Well, VIPs, you will have access to all the recordings for life. And for everybody on YouTube, they'll be up for the rest of the week as they are now, like as live streams, and then we're going to chop them up and just make them more palatable, like more digestible, because a 4-hour stream is a bit of a big ask, you know, like a 2-hour video, 3-hour, 4-hour video, it's a bit much. So we'll be cutting them up, but we'll leave them up there for a good week, inshallah, to just let the views, just let people keep sharing those links, inshallah. Right, let me just look through and see if I've got any of my other guests here. Yes, there's Brother Nasir, alhamdulillah. There we go. Brother Saeed, salam alaikum. You can unmute and we can. How are things going?
Alaikum. Alhamdulillah. I've been following the program. Very interesting, very beneficial. Looking forward to this interaction, inshallah.
Inshallah, khair. Muhammad, salam alaikum. Where are you at the moment?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm not in as a tropical place as Brother Saeed, mashallah. I'm near Heathrow. I'm near Heathrow. I'm in Hounslow, London. The best part, the jewel in the crown of West London, Hounslow.
Okay, this is called sarcasm, but alhamdulillah. All right, inshallah. So I think we're good to go, inshallah. Brother Muawiyah, if you want, I can't see you yet. Brother Adeem is on his way, inshallah, I think we'll get started, if that's okay, because I think that we will need time anyway for everybody to get to say their piece, and I will just keep an eye on when the other brothers come in to just make sure that I get them onto the panel, inshallah. So before I start the recording, before I start the recording, I would just like to thank every one of you for taking time out and, you know, coming to take part in this panel. We've had an amazing 3 days already, mashallah, tabarakallah. And I'm happy to say that it's been a really safe space for marriage. And what I mean by that, it's been a very marriage positive space, which means that we've not had any male bashing. Which is refreshing. It's been really focused on, and I think the sisters who are here, those who've been watching, I think you can agree, it's been a very positive space, even when we've been discussing difficult topics, because one of the things that, you know, we're based on here is that, you know, men, women, we're a team. Muslim men need Muslim women. Muslim women, we need Muslim men. We need men who are men. We need women who are women. We need really for the collective to be, you know, to be strong, to be grounded, to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to work together upon birr wa taqwa, really to make that ta'awun. So that's been the basis, mashallah, of our conversation so far. Alhamdulillah, you know, it's been, you know, a really, really wholesome space, mashallah. You can see from the chat what people are saying. So I'm going to come off camera so that I can give the floor to the brothers, and I'm just making sure that everybody is in here who is supposed to be in here. Brother Nasir is here. I think he needs co-host. Okay, bismillah. Okay, so mashallah, Anam said that's exactly what I loved about the show the most, no Muslim brother bashing, which is lovely. Marriage positive space, boom, yes. This is teamwork. Khadija says, I think most of the women involved in the conference are not feminists, but are mature and see the value in men. Yes, very true. And Saba said, Muslim brother bashing is never the answer and is toxic. Alhamdulillah, we have not had any of that this weekend. And Fatima says, this is the trueness of our deen. Walillahil hamd, alhamdulillah. I am very proud of everybody. Alhamdulillah. Brother Nasir, you should be okay to do your camera now. And Brother Adeem as well. Just let me know if you're having any tech issues on your end. It should be okay now, though. Abida says, alhamdulillah for Islam. Yes. We have, alhamdulillah, the best deen, alhamdulillah. Okay, right, alhamdulillah, cool. I'm just gonna wait for Brother Adeem to come on. And there we go. Brother Deem is on the move, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum. Need to unmute, brother. Need to unmute.
There we go, there we go. Assalamu alaikum, guys. How are you all?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, guys, I'm going to start the recording. I'm going to get off the video and I'm going to give you guys the floor, inshallah. So, bismillah. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the final panel in the Secrets of Successful Wives Conference. This is our very first all-male panel for the weekend. And one of the things that I have been very heartened by is how much of a positive space this has been over the past 3 days. Even when we've been discussing typically difficult issues such as polygyny, such as divorce, such as custody, we as sisters have managed to maintain a marriage positive space. And I think that that's the way forward for us as Muslims, the understanding that the Muslim sisters need the Muslim brothers and the brothers need the sisters. We need men to be men, we need women to be women, and all of us need to become more grounded, stronger, you know, more focused on akhirah, more committed to what we're here to do. And bi'idhnillah, if we can, as individuals, every single one of us enact that and do that, inshallah, we will start to build much stronger homes, much stronger families, and inshallah, this will impact the next generation. Inshallah. So the reason I brought a panel of men, which was a subject of great controversy when we started advertising it, mashallah, because people felt, well, why are we asking men? You know, why? What have men got to do with this? This is a women's conference. You know, what's, you know, who, we tired of listening to men. And I specifically knew that certain elements in the community would feel that way. But I think that we are all now on the same page with regards to the fact that this work of building a strong marriage, or even the work of being a good wife, is not possible without the input of men. Because, you know, if a wife is providing a service, it is to someone, right? If a wife is performing a role, it is in relation to someone, and that someone is a husband, and that husband happens to be a man. So I thought that it would be a good idea to have brothers from different backgrounds, different ages, different parts of the world, to really, I guess, come and school us sisters. So the question that I put to the panel, which is, you know, really, I just want you guys to just run with it. Firstly, I'd love for you to just introduce yourself, to tell us your name, maybe your marital status, age, whatever. And that's it. You're only here for that. we want to know about, you know, your perspective as, you know, prospective husband, ex-husband, whatever it is. And then the central question really is, what do Muslim men want? What do husbands or prospective husbands wish that wives knew? And that is all that we're going to talk about today. So inshallah, I'll hand over to you to just introduce yourselves and then just take it away, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, everyone. Welcome to the panel.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Jazakumullah khair, Sister Naima. You've got an amazing program here, and it's a pleasure to be involved. And thank you so much for doing this program as well.
Alhamdulillah, I'm going to need you guys to run with it, inshallah. Yeah.
So let me get started, inshallah. So my name is, I'm in the top right-hand corner, or left-hand corner, so I'll start from the beginning. So my name is Ma'ari Tucker. I graduated from the Islamic University of Medina in 2008. And what is relevant to this discussion is that I got married pretty much my second year after I became Muslim. So I became Muslim in 1997, 98. And I got married about a year and a half after that in, I think, 99. And I've been married to the same woman since then. So now it's over 20 years, and father of 8 kids, alhamdulillah. I've been dealing with a lot of marital issues over the decades. Sounds weird saying over decades. I don't want that old, but and alhamdulillah, hopefully I'll be able to add some value to this discussion, inshallah, and giving people a nasiha and advice about how to, I guess, what to expect for those who are not married, or to expect in a marriage, and how to keep one when you're in one. And also, I guess, recognize that not every marriage is worth keeping, I guess. That's also something to be aware of. That's just that's my muqaddima. So the guy to my right is Muhammad Malik. So let him go for it. Tafadhal, Sheikh.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustaduna. Hayakallah. So, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So my name is Muhammad Malik. Essentially, my full time is working in startups, right? So, but I also have, I'm a co-founder of an Islamic education company. The focus is really those people that are struggling with the deen, you know, trying to get productive and try to be a bridge, inshallah, to the ulama and the, you know, classical scholars, inshallah. And yeah, focusing on those strugglers and seekers, inshallah, that don't know where to go. And through Instagram and other places we engage them. And I guess my experience in terms of the context of this conference, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for attending and taking the active effort in order to establish what I believe is, subhanAllah, each brick of this ummah is a nuclear family. That's what my belief is. And inshallah, trying to strengthen that brick, inshallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will result in a much stronger ummah, bi-ithnillah ta'ala. And my experience, essentially, I was married many years ago, maybe 2014. Yeah, 2014, around about 2014. And subhanAllah, since then, I've been single. I'm currently single. And I've been on the look, as I'm a single brother that's been on the look for about a year and a half on and off, and a lot of surprising things that I've come across, subhanAllah, that inshallah maybe we can elaborate on, that is almost an eye into the current state of Muslim sisters, right, and particularly Muslims as well in general. And inshallah, one thing, you know, I think what the most succinct thing that I've come across, right, in terms of what do men want, is a dua from one of the Salaf, the pious predecessors. His name was Muhammad ibn al-Hussein. And he made the dua, Allahumma rzuqni mar'atan tusurruni idha nazart. Yeah, somebody that I look at and I feel surur, I feel contentment. Watutui'ani idha amartu, and somebody that I tell them to do something and they do it. وَتَحْفَظَنِي إِذَا غِبْتُ, and somebody that would look after my rights when I'm not there, subhanAllah. So that was one thing I wanted to, inshallah, say as well, بِإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى and جَزَاكَ خَيْرًا بَرَكَ اللَّهَ فِيكُمْ. And who's next, inshallah? Whoever wants to jump in terms of the introduction, please feel free to.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. My name is Saeed Takuma, married to Maryam Leimu. We've been married since 1991. We celebrated our 30th anniversary September last year. We've been blessed with two boys, both university level right now. They're all in school. Maryam and I have been into counseling husbands and wives for over 20 years. And the demand got so high, we couldn't continue on a one-on-one basis, especially premarital counseling. And that led us to come up with the idea of establishing the premarital masterclass under the Maryam Leimu Marriage Academy. And that's been going on. And since it was established, I think we've had over 16,000 people who have registered for the program, alhamdulillah. We are working to break it down to local languages and to broadcast it on radio across the country. We have had participants from all over the world. And our main goal, objective, is to see how we can impart our 30 years experience going up and going through the peaks and valleys, you know, the minefields and so on and so forth, and help marriage couples, newlyweds, to avoid what we went through, hopefully much sooner than we did. It took us 6 years to find a solution. We got married in 91, and that led us to holding off even having starting a family until 1997. So that's why I'm here today. I thank Sister Naima Roberts for coming up with this program. And inshallah, by the time we're done with all the brothers in this panel, we'll be able to impart a lot of information, a lot of knowledge and wisdom to the brothers and sisters out there to help build stronger families, more stable homes, and hopefully bring down the level of numbers of divorce, inshallah. Thank you very much for having me.
So if I can, where I'm from, we say beauty before age, so I have to let my brother Adeem go before me.
That's very kind of you, Nasser, but you never know. I might be a lot older than you, bro.
Hey, but the beauty is clear.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, Sister Naima, for the opportunity to address the conference. And it's great to be with peers. But Brother Muhammad Malik, what you were saying earlier is very, very true. And that's what everybody wants, every human, men, women. And I'm sure it's the same with all of God's creation, is it's a sukoon, it's a peace within our hearts. My name is Adeem Yunis, and I'm the founder of a dating app, previously a website called singlemuslim.com. And alhamdulillah, in this year, 2022, we've been going for 22 years as well. We set up in 1999, 2000. So that was in the dial-up age. And I guess the reason that I set up the website was for myself. I later kind of realized that it was something that I was in denial with for many, many years. But, you know, they say the necessity is the mother of all actions. And I was in need to find a wife. A lot of my peers at that age were going back to what was their family homes, their kind of country of origins, for example, Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, whatever it was, and having arranged marriages back in 2000 up to 2005. So it was a need of the whole generation. So my experience today is from myself, but also from the nearly 4 million members that we have on the website, over 100,000 marriages that we have as well. I myself found success on singlemuslim.com. I was married for 13 years, alhamdulillah, 4 beautiful children. And inshallah, I'll be parting some of my kind of experiences as well. So I don't know if Muhammad, Brother Malik, if you're still looking, get yourself on Single Muslim, man. We need some very articulated, good-looking brothers like yourself on there.
Jazakallah khair. I forgot to mention in my introduction that currently my face is on billboards across in London and Manchester and Birmingham. Findmalikawife.com. That's one of the major things I forgot to mention. So yeah, that's one of the tongue-in-cheek things that I'm currently doing as a singleton, inshallah, trying to spread my net as much as possible. So inshallah, check out findmalikawife.com. That's me.
And Malik's not found a wife.
Malik's not found a wife yet, no.
with the
this
billboard.
This is your moment. This is your moment, okay? Okay, you've been told now. He's dropped it, alhamdulillah.
He's on billboards, he's famous.
MashaAllah. So, Nasir Al-Amin, I am a behavioral coach, a cognitive behavioral coach. My background is in social work and psychology. Graduated from Columbia University in New York. And I work with Muslims in the UK, US, and in the States as well. States, UK, college, yeah. Mainly sisters, actually. So 95% of my client base are Muslim sisters. I tell a joke, which is something that I think that if we have time, we can elaborate on as brothers, that when sisters sense smoke, they get help. But when brothers, we wait until the remote that we have in our hand is on fire before we get help, right? And so that has been the reality with the work that I do. Alhamdulillah, presently married. Maybe something else. Another experience that I bring to this, alhamdulillah, in a beautiful marriage right now. Previously married for 2 years. And I made a conscious decision at the beginning of that marriage, once I realized that it was rocky, I made a very conscious emotional decision to not have children. And that's a part that I would mention to all brothers and sisters. When you get into the beginning of the marriage, have yourself grounded emotionally and mentally so that you can make a sound decision on when to have children, right? And just the status of the marriage, right? And alhamdulillah, wonderful sister, just, you know, it wasn't a good fit. May Allah reward her wherever she's at and what's going on. But alhamdulillah, a few years later, got remarried. And alhamdulillah, I took those lessons learned into my next vetting process and was very, and so my brother Muhammad, you don't need to hear this from me, but if I can impart this to my brother, because look, you on billboards. I mean, Look, I don't know if you're going to get one at a time or two, but we won't go there right now because we have, you know, sisters in the chat. But what I will say is one of the things that I was very adamant about is I took the time after my divorce to process that. And I adjusted my vetting process and was very clear about what I wanted. And I was not willing to venture from my standard. And so two things that were clear is I was very adamant with my wife to make sure that she wasn't trying to leak. I told myself I'm not getting married to any woman that wants to lead. And I repeatedly asked that question. Are you trying to wear the pants? Are you trying to be the pilot of this thing? Are you willing to get on this program that I have? If not, alhamdulillah, great sister, but you're not for me. And another thing, subcategory of that is homeschooling. Personally, I'm an advocate of homeschooling. I did not want a woman in my life that wasn't willing to leave her career once children came in the equation. I attribute that to the thing that for me is the most important thing, and I'm biased as someone who's trained in psychology, but I think that happened because of being grounded emotionally, right? I didn't make an emotional decision when it came to getting married. I made a logical decision. It wasn't that emotion wasn't there, but it was balanced, right? I led with logic, not with emotion. So look, my brother Muhammad, you don't need it, but I hope that two cents helped. And anybody else in the chat, I hope that helped. So I think I described or explained who I am, I hope.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Jazakallah khair, and everybody, I think we've got a feel for the room. So let's dive into this.
Mr. Naima, if you're okay with it, then we're good. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, really, we've talked a lot this weekend about how to be a wife, how to be with your husband, how to charm your husband, you know, how to resolve difficulties with your husband. You know, we've talked about submission, we've talked about leadership, we've talked about roles, we've actually had some really honest conversations. And I'm grateful, so grateful that my sisters got to see examples of women, mashallah, who are in the public eye, who are on social media. We know who they are, mashallah, and we admire them. They're very successful. They're working in the community. They're doing fantastic work. But to hear those sisters explain the dynamics of their home and how they are with their husband and the respect that they give him and just the way that they are as wives, I think was so important, because no one will know unless you tell them. You know, all they see is you famous and everyone can see you and doing well and everything like that. And there's a man somewhere in the background. But to hear those same women actually breaking it down for the sisters and being very humble and really just saying to the sisters, no. Look, in my home, this is how it is. And I love to cook. I love to ask my husband's opinion, you know, just things that are not common in today's society. So I think that we were really blessed to get that viewpoint from the sisters. But I want to turn it now, it's you guys' turn to really just, let's start talking about, you know, what is it that, you know, a Muslim husband is looking for from his wife? What do you wish more women knew that their husband needs from them or wants from them? Because that is the crux of this conversation.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima. Is it okay if I start?
Please, yes.
Okay. Just a little bit about my background. I am a product of a polygamy. And through the years of my father's, in his life, he was married to about 7 different women. I grew up in what one would describe not a very stable polygamous experience. I witnessed divorces, I witnessed fights between the wives. And from an early age, I started asking myself what kind of a family I would like to have. I certainly didn't want to re-experience what I saw growing up. Alhamdulillah, I also happened to have had a father who was liberal. And he invited questions from us. I was curious. And I would ask him certain relationships he's had with his relation, how he's relating to some of his wives, or all of his wives, actually. And I was curious, and I would ask, is that religious or is that culture and tradition? My father was very humble, very honest, and he would just smile and say, son, that is tradition, or that is culture. And I would ask him, is that acceptable? He would correctly say, no, it isn't. So, and I would go ahead and say, you don't expect me to do the same thing. And he would say, no, do not do what I did. So very early in my life, I was taught about the fallibility of human beings. My father never had the power distance relationship that is common in our society at those periods. So, and I understood that he wasn't perfect and he made mistakes. Very earlier on, I was also a mediator. I would intervene when the wives were fighting because I had the benefit of being taken away from my biological mother and was raised by my stepmother, who was at the time unable to have a child. So I had a bond with my biological mother and I had a bond with my stepmother. So I'd be going in between, not just between the two of them, between any four wives that were present at the time. So earlier on, it was about asking the right questions as how do I go about having a good family? How do I get the right wife? And what that led me to is actually, what is marriage? Because what I grew up seeing, I didn't find it as acceptable. The women were very open with me. And I discussed this with Sister Naima. They would call me aside and tell and complain about what is wrong with the marriage. I was the eldest child of a family of 26 kids. So not only was I the eldest, looking after the kids, the younger ones, the siblings, and making sure they behave accordingly, I was also the one putting out the fire when there was a disagreement between the husband and the wives, and even between the wives themselves. So that got me very, very curious as to asking the questions that would make, that would protect me or guarantee that I don't have a repeat of what I witnessed growing up. And you know, marriage is about two unique individuals coming together to complement each other, people who are God conscious, God fearing, and guiding and encouraging each other to get closer to Allah. Now, if Allah is first in everything that we do, what I told myself is, then let those guiding principles as stipulated in the Holy Quran and according to Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on how husbands and wives ought to relate, I need to be knowledgeable about that. And I started studying that pretty early. Now, in Northern Nigeria, and the reason why this is particularly important, Sister Naima, that you're raising this, is women are not really held in high regard. They're relegated to almost second-class citizens, without a voice, without even no presence, they're not consulted. Even when one man is getting married to a second or third wife, he doesn't let her know. She maybe find out the day off. And when you study those guidelines and stipulations, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best among you are those who are best to their wives, and I'm the best amongst you, you start to realize it's not about me being the man. No. Yes, we are a degree above them. But Rasul also talked about kindness. And he talked about the blessings in smiling, even to a stranger, to a neighbor, you know. And when men don't take all of that into consideration, and when Rasulullah also said the best charity is the one one does in the home of taking care of his wife and family, that got me thinking. And then that got me studying. And I remember when I was courting Maryam between 1988 and 1990, which was when I first saw her, we courted for 3 years. The first thing I did was teaching Maryam about her rights and responsibilities. Now that tends to freak people out. When you teach about their rights and responsibilities, wallahi, when you do that, and you are both knowledgeable in the deen. the blessings, the rewards that one gets from the wife are immeasurable. So the other thing is to grow together as husband and wife, to elevate the woman to where you are, to be able to have a conversation, intellectual conversation with the woman that you're married to plan your future together, to be the cheerleader, to be the most supportive husband you could possibly be in all ramifications. So the real question to me about what we want is, do we know what we want? That's number one. Number two, is it what we want or what we should want? There's a difference. If one is culturally bent to replicate what they grew up with, not following the guidelines as stipulated in the Quran, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's going to be a problem. Because marriage, as we all know, is not an obligation, right? It's a highly encouraged sunnah. But the moment one embarks into it and gets into it, now fulfilling those rights and responsibilities becomes an obligation. And the fear that a lot of people have that, okay, you might be giving the women a lot of rights and they may be demanding their rights, wallahi, it doesn't happen. An educated woman who understands the benefits, the rewards in following the husband as the leader and in giving as much as she can in supporting that husband will never be the one to question the husband about her rights, because they're already being given to her by the husband. The husband is knowledgeable, understands the importance of it, and understands that that relationship, getting that relationship right, is an act of ibadah. It's not a buffet. It's not about picking and choosing what you want or what you don't want. Fulfilling those rights are an obligation on both the husband and the wife. And I felt it was my responsibility not only to know, but to educate my wife in understanding those rights and responsibilities. I don't recall in the 30 years plus that Maryam and I have been married that she's ever once asked me to fulfill a right of hers. She could gently remind me because of her fear not to offend Allah. So that to me are the qualities that I want. But what I want is based on what I'm expected to want from my wife based on those teachings of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's my guidance, not culture, not tradition. And like I said, my background was highly influential in pushing me along those lines. So I'm considered a bit of an, I wouldn't say an aberration maybe in our culture, because I don't follow tradition. The only tradition I follow is one that reinforces the faith. Anything that deviates, that also in any way derides or affects the right of the wife, that limits her rights in any way, shape, or form, I run away from. Because ultimately, whether I impress the family, the friends, or whoever, I will answer to Allah. And as long as we both recognize that fulfilling those rights, I don't have to demand them, but I am just fulfilling those responsibilities, fulfilling, giving, making sure I live up to those responsibilities. We do it correctly, and that's why when the brother mentioned being garments, being sutura for each other. My wife and I are constantly looking out to make sure we do not offend Allah. Allah is first in everything that we do. And whatever my demands or requirements or desires are, we make sure we stay within the bounds of what is halal, what is permissible. That's all I have to say right now at this moment. I may add some more later, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khairan. Okay, I've been made a host because it's obviously, you know, in Egypt, the weather isn't that great. I think Sister Naima might have dropped off. But jazakallahu khairan, subhanAllah. That lived experience that you have, Akhi Saeed, it's incredible to come, you know, with that, you know, mashallah, so many, you felt it firsthand, right, with this polygamous arrangement, and mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to strengthen your relationship based on Allah. I remember this diagram, beautiful diagram of a triangle. At the very top is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the sides are the husband and the wife. And the closer they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer they are together. And subhanAllah, one thing I want to, inshallah, I want to ask brother Adeem, if possible, right, succinctly, if you can, inshallah, what are those things, inshallah, what are those things from your own experience and from, you know, maybe some of the anecdotal experiences of those people that, mashallah, have been matched together through single Muslim, it would be great to hear from you, Brother Adeem, if possible, inshallah. What are those anecdotes, and from yourself, inshallah, what are the key traits in a woman to look for?
Brother Malik, I can't get over the fact that you're on billboards up and down the country. I cannot get over that.
The most
I
random.
Me setting up a website was desperate, bro. That was desperate, man. But
desperation.
You just taking the biscuit in a good way. May Allah give you everything and more. From me, I think Brother Saidu, that was amazing in terms of your lived experiences. What Brother Malik said. I think it's phenomenal, your experience and what you've done and how you took the mantle and how you took the reins. And, you know, mashallah, you seem very, very, very wise kind of from a young age. And I'd like to just kind of touch upon the point of what you said earlier in terms of what brothers want and what brothers need. You know, I think what we want, everybody wants beauty. Everybody wants somebody who's going to be stunning, be amazing, be gorgeous, you know, just be like, wow, oh my God, you know, like, and, you know, be able to talk well and be able to be nice to us. But what we need as humans, and what I often see, again, you know, from my experience of personal experience as well as that of the countless thousands of people that have been married, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that have come together from the website, is that, you know, we men need somebody who's going to stabilize us as well. You know, men need somebody who's going to challenge us. Men need somebody who's going to really kind of, you know, talk to us in the way of keeping us grounded, you know, questioning us and saying to us, you know, where have you been? Have you actually been there? Have you not been there? And taking those responsibilities as well. You know, like, if you have too much of a freedom or too much of an open relationship, then it seems to be like you're not interdependent, you're kind of independent. And if you're independent, you're living your own life. That's not the way it's supposed to be either. You know, like you said, it's far too often used as garments. But what does that actually mean as garments? You know, you've got to think about that, and you've got to really believe that. And I think, alhamdulillah, again, you know, like Muslims, again, the experience from the business perspective is that Muslims, whatever they do, however liberal they are, however, you know, they might be, whatever they might be doing, you know, when they come back and they have that, we all have that God feelingness inside us, and we want to, you know, do the best that we can for this world and the world and the hereafter. And we all want that kind of, you know, sukoon, as you mentioned, Malik, earlier. And we all want, you know, we want what's good for us in both lives. And I find that a lot of people, regardless of their faith or regardless of how practicing that they are, when it comes to finding a marriage partner, Muslims will come back and want somebody who's Muslim. You know, people do want people who have got the same interests, somebody who can they can take home, and somebody who can they can take to Jannah with them, or who can guide them to Jannah. And that's something that we often hear. And that's different. That interpretation is different to different people and what that means. But I think, you know, ultimately what we do want, I think what I've always wanted, I think what I feel that, you know, we want somebody who we can, and you very, very well articulated earlier, somebody we can trust with our possessions when we're not there, somebody who can love us, somebody who can support us, somebody who can feed us, somebody who can massage us, somebody who can treat us like little babies and just care for us, really. And I think, you know, what, you know, going back to my earlier self and kind of like earlier experiences of, you know, sticking together and keep getting married, I think is, maybe it's because I run a Muslim dating website, I don't know, but getting married is easy for me. I think it's very, very easy, you know, finding somebody who's compatible or got the roundabout compatibilities and getting married, boom, you're away. Staying married is a challenging part. And I think all human beings, no matter who we are, all human beings need respect. You know, we just want to feel respect and we want to feel loved. I mean, the main thing, you know, men want to feel that respect. Of course we want love, but women want to feel more loved, from my perspective. But of course they want to be respected as well. We're in this dunya together. So yes, it's for the individuals, but it's about the bigger picture as well. How you make somebody feel with their parents? How do you make somebody feel in their environment as a sister, as a daughter, as a friend? You know, so they just want to be comfortable and be able to be the best version of themselves. And same with the guys. You know, you're able to, if you're dedicated to as entrepreneurs, fellow entrepreneur Malik, you know, you want to be able to do your entrepreneurial thing, but you want to be able, you know, I think, you know, you want to be able to steal that person's heart as well. And how do you steal that person's heart? You know, by being good to them and yes. making somebody like I want you to be my interest. I want you to be my thinking. I want to be at work and I want to be thinking. I want to go home. I yes. desperately want to go home for that peace and comfort and love. And when I'm at home, I just think, you know, I want Allah to, I would like this to be forever. I know this is not going to be forever, but I just, you know, Ya Allah, can this be forever? So, you know, again, it goes back to that just basics about just being happiness and just being peaceful and being tranquil. And I think that's the key. If you have that and you have that inside you, even if you have a small bit of that inside you, you're going to keep going back there and you want to go back there and you're attracted to that and you'll fight for it. It's just when you don't have that, that you think, you know, is it worth it? Is it even worth my time? So that's
There was a few.
You asked for it to be articulate. Apologies, that was not articulate whatsoever.
That was beautiful. Akhi, mashallah, Adeem. You know, there were a few moments. Sorry, there was a few moments there where there was almost a trigger response from me. Right when you said to be challenged, I thought the first thing came to my mind was perhaps the most attractive trait that I've come across in women during courting and over the last year when speaking to women, potentially even those sisters who I wouldn't be attracted to, who may be a little out of shape, maybe older than me. The most attractive thing is agreeableness, subhanAllah, like a natural agreeableness that comes just by your aura. The fact that they can see that this is a man, this is a person who is maybe, inshallah, I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to be this person, a person of his word. And they would know, you know, they would immediately have this softness to them, right? And but then you mentioned stabilize, and I like that word more, the groundedness. And then also had an immediate response to when you said men, you know, treat your men like a baby. I said, subhanAllah, this is the opposite of what we are, but subhanAllah, it's true, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would put his head on the lap of his wives. You know, our mothers, subhanAllah, and in a way that nurturing, that caring thing, it's almost like a motherly trait, inshallah. Brother Nasser, in terms of this, in the leadership quality that you mentioned, right, somebody that doesn't lead, where's the balance there then? As Brother Adeem mentioned, to be challenged, you know, to challenge the man, but then there's the other aspect of not leading, right? So Where's that balance, Brother Nasser, if you don't mind, or anybody that inshallah would like to jump in?
So I'll a brief comment and then I'll address the other point. So I think the good thing about this is you have a number of different brothers that have a number of different perspectives. I don't want to be challenged, period. I'm internally challenged with the heaviness of the responsibility of I have to be the leader of this thing. And if it goes wrong, if this ship sinks, it's on me. Like all accountability is on me. However, agreeing with my beautiful brother, Adeem, like I have brothers who want that kind of, that dance, that challenge, right? So that's just not me. Personally, that's just not me. I'm a brother where that I have a plan. I need to have tunnel vision. I need you to just get on board. You play your role, but let me do this. And the other part about, for me, about not being challenged is I'm trusting myself enough in the vetting process that I am going to ask my wife questions because I believe that I made the right decision, that she's smart enough, she's savvy enough to give me those thoughts that maybe I didn't come up with. Right, it was a question that was posed the other day in a group where it says, how do you know you want an argument? And my response is, I don't entertain arguments. And there doesn't need to be an argument. If you both are respecting each other, there's disagreements, there's discussions for sure. But arguments, that's just not acceptable. I don't give my time or attention or energy to arguments. And I can say in my marriage, alhamdulillah, mashallah, haven't had one. I can honestly say, mashallah, I pray to Allah and continue this. I haven't had a disagreement with my wife that I'm ashamed that my daughter saw. Not one. And that's because, not just a testament to me, it's to my wife as well, that we both keep this first thing in the forefront. We're both servants of Allah. There's a certain amount of respect, diction, tone that's going to happen. So that segues me into, for me, the answer to the other part. What I, myself, Circle, what we want sisters to know is know your baggage. Know the baggage that you're bringing in this marriage. Baggage, I'll say this very briefly so I can be concise, is I look at baggage two ways. Check-in baggage, carry-on baggage, right? Carry-on baggage is, it's light, you can maneuver, move through the airport with ease, and actually your man can carry both his and yours to follow me. It's not a thing. You can, he'll even be the gentleman for you, be suave, have, be dapper, and put it up for you in the overhead for you. That's the carry-on. The check-in weighs down. The plane is heavy, it's embarrassing. You got to go through it. If you overpack, you didn't put any time or attention into it, you just stuffed it. You were hasty. You were acting off of the emotion of, I want to get on this flight. I'm going to go to Aruba, Montego Bay, or wherever you're going. I don't know. Whatever. So the difference is check-in baggage versus carry-on baggage. Know what you're carrying into this relationship. And sisters, that'll also help you know what you're looking for. Because you don't want a brother that has check-in baggage. You want a brother that has put in time and energy into packing and unpacking what he doesn't need to bring into this relationship, right? So what is baggage though? Baggage, and so I use the word bagging, so you know you have the visual, but really baggage is just the meanings that we develop from the events that we've had in life, right? So whatever experiences we have, it's the event, then it's the perception and the evaluation we make, that becomes the meanings that we carry along with us throughout life. Right? The past is the past, it's over. But those meanings that you develop, that you chose to have about what this event means about you, about your Lord, about others, is what you carry into the next experience. So as a brother, what I want you to do is know what those meanings are. And this segues into the other thing. So how do you know what those meanings are? You need to know a modality. You need to have some type of structured, cognitive, emotional modality that teaches you how to understand your thinking, your feeling, and your acting. My bias, I use CBT, particularly RABT, but there's a plethora of them. Knowing how to regulate your emotions is what we need. Not for you not to have emotions. That's your asset. Lead with it, but know how to regulate it. And so by knowing how to regulate it, and it's possible, how do you know it's possible? And this is the response I gave to that question about no arguments, is because when you're in the job, you give that emotional regulation to your boss. So when you're in my house, you're gonna have that same emotional regulation. Or you're just not gonna get my time and attention. We can have this conversation later when you're in the right space emotionally. What you have to say may be completely valid. And right, I can be wrong, but what is not going to happen is not going to happen with a certain tone and diction. How do you regulate that tone and diction? By understanding your thinking and your emotions. So you start with the baggage, know the baggage, but really what I'm saying is knowing the meanings. How do you know the meanings? You know the meanings by having some understanding of a modality. And understanding a modality then teaches you your deficiencies, and we all have it. We're all fallible human beings, you know, by a law's design, we're fallible human beings, we're gonna make mistakes. You know your deficiencies, that's true self-awareness. So I took you backwards, but really what I want to get to is, I want you to have self-awareness. Because if you have self-awareness, and not this cliche, trendy, it's my truth stuff. No, you can do that, but that's maybe for somebody else. What I need is self-awareness that's grounded in a modality that has something tangible, right? Because then I know that you know how to work on it. I don't need you to be perfect, but I need you to work on your baggage, and you know how to work on your baggage because you went through a modality. You own a modality. And you can go through a psychiatrist, psychologist, coach. You can go to anyone that has a modality, and they can teach that to you. So for me, the answer is I want self-awareness. But I want self-awareness that's grounded in something. And when I say something, I mean a modality. That's what, it's not that you won't have baggage, but you gotta have that, you gotta have that carry-on baggage, not that check-in baggage. That's that. And sisters, this is a point I made. I'll stop with this so that I can act like I was concise. sisters, when you don't understand a modality, you're likely to make choices of who you're going to marry or who you're going to give your time to, because it may not even get to marriage. You make choices based off emotions, and emotional attachment will lead you to overlook the red flags that are glaringly obvious, right? You know you need Dol Ahmed, who's the leader of, or the manager, but you're entertained by Khalid from Copies, right? You're ignoring those red flags, right? Of Khalid from Copy Room, but you're interested in Ahmed, right? The manager, right? I mean, you should be interested in him, right? But you're ignoring red flags, so you got the attachment to Khalid. Attachments, emotional attachments, can be addressed if you have a modality. If you have a modality, it'll allow you to make a sound decision. Emotional attachments lead you to neglect the glaring red flags that are there. So that's for brothers as well, but that's what I would say. Know a modality so that you have real tangible self-awareness, not that Kardashian self-awareness. Pardon me for the mention of
SubhanAllah, there's one quote, Akhi Nasser, JazakAllah Khair, beautifully put, and I can't stress this self-awareness enough. Carl Jung, he said that until you make the subconscious conscious, it will lead you, and you will call it fate. So essentially this, you will attract the same people, that same toxicity. And we've seen it in the workplace. We've seen sisters who've experienced a certain type of man attract the same man and again and again, right? It's because of that lack of self-awareness and not making the subconscious conscious to realize, what is it that I'm thinking? What are those patterns that I'm, you know, that I'm consistently falling into? SubhanAllah. Sorry, Sister Naima's here. JazakAllah khair. I'll let you take over the host rights, inshallah.
Please leave me off hosting. I'm good with being off hosting. I just wanted to distill what Brother Nasser was saying. And I think emotional regulation and self-awareness, these are topics that have come up several times over the weekend when it comes to being a wife. So JazakAllah khairan for that. I want to hear what Brother Muawiyah said, because we've got a lot. And anyone's taking notes and is going to put anything on socials, you know, please tag us all, because everybody here has given something for others to agree on everything here, right? Because it's not just because you're a man, you see things a particular way, but everybody is coming to this answer or to this question from their vantage point, if you like. So Brother Saeed, he's explained to us where he's coming from, because he's come from a background of chaotic polygamy, you know, culture ruling over religion, etc. So his perspective and viewpoint is very much grounded in that, or coming from that. Same with obviously Brother Nasser, who is, you know, in the CBT space, and you know, he's a counselor, this is the work that he does. Adeem, you've come from your own lived experience as well, you know, as somebody who has been, you know, super, super busy and focused on your career. And so the things that you mentioned, they apply to you and Brother Muhammad as well. So I'm going to go to Brother Muawiyah now, but I'd love to hear, after we've had a chance to kind of go do the round table, I'd love to hear whether we can distill certain things that are common to everyone. Like, everybody agrees that, yeah, as a husband in a more general sense, this is what husbands in general are looking for or need, etc. After we've all given our personal perspective, Brother
Muawiyah. Oh, JazakAllah khairan for that introduction. So